join the show by dialing 248-557-3300. And now, Radio Ballady.
And good morning and welcome to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio, broadcasting from Detroit. Our website is RadioBallady.com. We're here every Friday morning and brought to you by our advertisers and sponsors and partners, Ziad Brothers Importing at Ziad.com, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, the law offices of attorney Stephen Lagana, and the law offices of Jumana K. Ruse, LaganaLaw.com and JumanaKRuse.com, the American Muslim Center. Also, we're broadcast live on your cell phone through Radio Aramica at RadioAramica.com. All you have to do is dial 712-432-8008, 712-432-8008, and you can listen to our radio show live there. Of course, you can always listen to it live by visiting our website at RadioChicagoland.com. Our partners include MC Gold TV, Sabeel Media at SabeelMedia.com, and The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, a great publication that you should be reading regularly at WRMEA.org. Also, thanks to support from the Dearborn Free Press and our partner at Radio Ballady, Layla El Hosseini, the award-winning journalist who hosts Good Morning Michigan Monday through Thursdays right here, 8 a.m. Eastern Time on WNZK AM 690. Our number is 248-557-3300 if you want to call in and share some comments or talk. We're going to be talking about the vote by the United Nations to endorse a Palestine, or at least to upgrade Palestine to observer state status, recognizing it much the same as the UN recognizes the Vatican. I know Israel and the United States, the most anti-peace, two anti-peace countries in the world. It's really kind of sad, isn't it? Fought as hard as they could to prevent this because their goal is to control Palestine. They want to control the Middle East. It's not about peace. It's not about anything. It is about preventing peace and giving Israel everything that it wants. We're going to be talking in a moment, hopefully, with one of our guests. And then we're going to open up the phone lines also at 248-557-3300. We're going to be talking with Henna Hanania. Now, Henna is kind of a, not a close relative, but indirectly, all the Hananias are related. He's with the Hanania family that is based in Ramallah. My family's from Jerusalem. And he's also active with NAP, the National Association of Arab American Professionals, which is a huge organization, and he's located in Washington, D.C. So we're expecting him to give us a buzz in a few moments. To talk to him about this campaign to get support for the upgrade of Palestine in the United Nations. So it'll be interesting to see what kind of response he got. You know, did the proposal have the support of all of the American Arab communities, all the Palestinian groups? You know, the Palestinians have been divided for so many years. But nonetheless, they did get the upgrade in the UN. And Mahmoud Abbas, I thought, made some really interesting comments when he was addressing the United Nations. I thought his comments were really important, and we're going to talk a little bit about those today while we take your phone calls. One of the news agencies that I always go to is the Ma'an News Agency, MA-AN News Agency at ma'annews.net. I think it's a great resource for live information on what's happening in Palestine. And one of the interesting quotes that I saw and I read recently in response to the United Nations vote, which came on the day 65 years ago when the United Nations adopted Resolution 181, which partitioned historic Palestine into two states against the will of the population. It was all political, driven by the pro-Israel movement back in 1947 and 48. The Israelis started a conflict, killing civilians, trying to chase them out because they didn't want non-Jews living in their state, even though probably 70% of Palestine was Christian and Muslim. So they had to do everything they could to chase the non-Jews out of the country. And, you know, you don't hold every Israeli responsible for that, but I do hold Israelis responsible for the fact that they haven't been pushing the peace process, that they're disingenuous and they're not being honest. Our number, 248-557-3300, if you want to call in while we wait for our guest, Hanania, to give us a buzz and talk about his petition drive to gain support for Palestine at the United Nations. There's an interesting quote I wanted to read from Mahmoud Abbas in his speech. I thought it was really telling when he spoke to the United Nations. Oh, here it is. We've listened. This is from Mahmoud Abbas when he's speaking to the United Nations. We've listened for the last months to the incessant flood of threats in response to our peaceful political and diplomatic request in the UN, and have watched Israel's war on Gaza, Abbas told the UN. We haven't heard one word, this is his quote, we haven't heard one word from any Israeli official expressing sincere concern for the peace process. At least 17 European nations voted in favor of Palestine's upgrade. That included Austria, France, Italy, Norway, and Spain. Australia and Germany voted to abstain. Also Britain. Now, those are big victories for the Palestinians. But the Israelis managed to get the former communist, really corrupt nation of, when you look at these countries, the Czech Republic voted against it. Panama, one of the most brutal dictatorships in Central America, voted against it. The Pacific Islands, like Nauru and Palau and Micronesia, voted against it because they're under the thumb of the United States. Canada, the warmongering country to the north of the United States, it's amazing how Canada has changed over the last 30, 40 years and gone from a peaceful country that opposed war to a country that embraces conflict, murder, and hostility, all because of money, because their economy is having problems. And, of course, they live under the thumb of the United States, which lives under the thumb of Israel. Israel tells the United States what to do, and their puppets in Washington, the Israeli-occupied Congress, does exactly what they're told by the Israelis to do. I'm going to see if we can, because we do this remotely, by the way. 248-557-3300 is our number if you want to call in. And while we wait for Hanania to call in, we're going to take a quick break here at Radio Ballady. And again, you can call up. You don't have to wait, but it'd be interesting to have Hannah on the phone talking a little bit about his campaign to bring support for a upgrade in the UN. Abbas and many Palestinians and observers in the Middle East believe that the upgrade will help bring peace and force Israel to do what it refuses to do. Because, you know, the Israelis really don't want peace. What they want is occupation because it's about money and control and land. And they really would like all of the Christians and the Muslims to leave Palestine. Now, Christians and Muslims are the same in Palestine, but not to the Israelis. They want to get rid of both of us. They don't care about us. They want to steal our land. They want to do everything they possibly can. But I'm hoping that maybe in these elections in Israel in January, the Israeli left will find its cojones and stand up and do the right thing. I'm Ray Hanania here at Radio Ballady. We're going to take a break, and we'll continue the conversation at 248-557-3300 right after these messages.
The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313 313- 865-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org.
Whether it's Makluba, Warak Dawali, Tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food products from our family to yours.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Saleh at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM 690 Radio. Our number is 248-557-3300 if you want to call in and talk to us. We're talking about the UN vote to upgrade Palestine at the United Nations, why it's so significant, and we want to hear what you have to say. We're fortunate to have on our line Hannah Hanania, who is one of the coordinators and organizers, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, of NAAP, the National Arab American Association, Professional Association of Professionals. Hannah, how are you? Correct my introduction, would you?
Hi, Ray. How are you? Thank you for allowing me to be on the show.
No, thank you.
Network of Arab American Professionals, actually the founder of the network.
That you were the founder. I wasn't sure, and you're always so humble about it. When I was researching the internet, it was very hard to get that detail, but I thought that. So thank you for joining us this morning.
Yeah, it's an honor.
Now, you, I was just telling the audience, because I don't want them to think that I brought my brother on the radio. We're kind of related, but you're from Ramallah. My family's from Jerusalem. And tell us a little bit about yourself and your family first before we talk about the UN vote. Give us a little background. Introduce yourself to many people in Detroit who probably know you already.
I was born in Ramallah, Palestine. I went to school in Palestine and then I came to the United States to do my college work. I graduated with a degree in dentistry. And currently I live in Washington, where I work in dentistry during the daytime and political activism during the nighttime. Actually, in Palestine, Ray, there is 7 different Hanania families. Each one of them is like from different city. There's one from Ramallah, one from Jerusalem, one from Bethlehem. We would like to think of being cousins of each other, but in reality, these are totally different families that are not related to each other.
Yeah, are they? I mean, it's interesting, you know, because it is a little hard to trace family trees in the United States. Because they don't have a very good job of recording information in English or translating from Arabic here in the U.S., like on Ancestry.com. But there are a number of Hanania families, correct?
Correct. There is one from Ramallah that's totally separate from the one in Jerusalem, that's totally separate from the one in Bethlehem. There's one in Birzeit and one in Jaffa.
And I met many from Bethlehem and Jerusalem and, of course, Ramallah. Now, Ramallah is like a country in itself. It's not just a city. They have their – it's almost like their Palestine. And, you know, if you're not born in Ramallah, a lot of Ramallahites kind of look at you like, okay, you're from out the rest of Palestine. But they have a very strong love for their city that's very prominent when you meet with them and talk to them.
You're right. Yes, Mr. Ramallah represents the diversity of the Palestine and all Palestine. Ramallah had a large number of refugees from 1948, and many of them kept their traditions that they had in their own villages and towns before 1948, before they were forced to move to Ramallah.
Now, I know one of my relatives married into a Ramallah family, and it is just wonderful to go there. It is the image of what Palestine can be, hopefully, if we get our state. And you've been one of the leaders that's been helping to raise awareness of the need to bring statehood to Palestine. You organized and have been organized many things, but recently a letter expressing support for the upgrade at the United Nations, which was won. Tell us about that effort. Was it easy to get support from Palestinian organizations in the United States, or was it difficult?
No, it was very easy, actually, this time. We were able to get 20 Palestinian organizations to sign out of probably 23 that we contact in less than 48 hours. So that was not hard at all. However, if you remember, Ray, you attended one of the meetings that we've been having the last few years to get the Palestinian organizations to form some type of coordination body. And that was a very hard task. We have not been very successful in that effort. But hopefully the letter will give us a little push that now we get the letter together that we can coordinate, organize, and maybe form some type of coordination body for Palestinian organizations across the country.
And the network of Arab American professionals is very successful. It's a good model on how to build an organization. You guys have done a very good job of bringing not just Palestinians, but all Arab Americans, Muslim and Christian, together to organize. And why do you think, I mean, you've been an activist for many years, and why is it that we can't seem to get together? I mean, because that is an obstacle for us, isn't it?
It is definitely a huge obstacle. We as Palestinian people at this time had a lot of divisions all around the world. It's not just in the U.S. And many of it is being reflected here. Second, the attempts in the past and the Palestinian politics in the past has not been so great. So it left a lot of bad taste in many people's mouths. So many of them are pretty spectacular of any new attempt to do some type of coordination among organizations. And said many of these organizations has been around for a while and been successful. However, there are so many more that come around for like a few years and then they disappear. So many of the successful ones are worried that this might end up reflecting bad on their organizations. And it's kind of they want to protect their baby type of thing. So they're hesitant to be part of a bigger coordination body.
But that's natural, don't you think, for a community that's under siege? I mean, the Israelis have never really embraced peace. You know, we've tried, many of us, and not just myself, but you, many people, we've really tried to bring peace to the conflict, to work with the Israelis. There are many Israelis who do support peace, but it seems like they've become more and more extremist. But isn't this division among us really the result of we've been targeted by the Israelis, we're victimized by the Israelis, and they control and influence so strongly our lives in the United States and in many Western countries that it kind of forces the community into a division, doesn't it?
I agree. I mean, I'm sure that plays a big role, too. And also, the same thing from our end, the fact that we don't have a really strong defined goal at this time compared to like 15, 20 years ago, I'm sure it's also playing a big role there, too.
That's a good point that you raise. I mean, I think that's probably the most significant point. The fact that we're kind of spread out in terms of what we're trying to do. Everybody working in different directions. That's why I thought your letter was so significant, because out of all of the noise, and I don't mean it disrespectfully to our community, but everybody's talking about wanting to do this or that. Yours seem to be the strongest effort to try to bring everybody together, and I'm glad to hear that you did get a good response. But what do we do now? How do we build on that, you know, Hannah? How do we, you know, do something positive? Because you and I I don't know how old you are. I think you're a little younger than I am. But, you know, this is all my life we've been under occupation, you know, hoping and dreaming for something. And we believed years and years ago in our activism that maybe something would change. But what do you think needs to be done and what can we do?
What I would hope and really like to see happen in the near future is at least some type of coordination body for the different Palestinian communities in the states. I think forming the body would be our first step. And second, defining a nice, achievable goal and then work on that accordingly. We're not going to be able to change the Congress overnight. However, we need to start. And so far, most of the attempts that are being made on basically doing good public relations or lobbying on our behalf has either failed or been not as successful as they should be. Before us getting together and agreeing on a common goal and some type of mechanism, it's going to be hard to achieve this goal. So that would be the one thing I would be hoping to work on in the next few months, is to get the coordination body together. And actually, hopefully we'll take advantage of the fact that we were able to get to the Palestinian community leaders from this letter and now be able to get them together on the table and come up with something significant that's going to motivate our community as well. But that's another problem we have, is our community all around the country at this time is kind of being very passive about what's happening, and mostly because they're being so disappointed and there is very little hope, with the exception of the last 2 days. And that's, in my opinion, why the last 2 days have been so significant, is maybe just giving the hope to the people is much more significant, in my opinion, than the political impact of the move.
Yeah, I think you're right on. I think your comments really describe what needs to be done. Even in spite of, and do you think that, you know, the traditional division between Hamas and Fatah, which are the two main groups, can those two groups, do you think, come together for one goal, or is it going to always have to be a compromise between them? People have always criticized me because I've always criticized Hamas, not because they're not genuine in wanting to liberate Palestine, but because I've always criticized them because I don't believe we should look at each other as religious people. Now, Christian or Muslim, we should always be together, and I don't think that we should organize around religion. But, you know, it's a difference. Do you think those two sides can come together on a mutual agenda that would benefit Palestine?
For sure. I mean, it's really kind of very, very, very sad that you see a division under people under occupation that are suffering every day from the same common enemy. It's very sad and it's unheard of. I don't think there is any reason to keep them away from each other, except probably the occupation and the common enemy that's working hard in order to keep the division between them. They have millions of reasons why they can't unite, and they have a really very easy platform to unite with. I'm sure they are going to get together. It's a matter of time. It's a matter of how much foreign powers are playing a role in it. And I'm sure many people are happy with the current situation. Eventually, they are going to come together, and they have no reason for not coming together.
And what do you think we can do again? I mean, what should we be doing as American Palestinians? I know that you touched on the need for better communications and PR, the need for better organizing, and also engagement in politics. I mean, that's always been difficult because, you know, you can run, for example, in Chicago, and we've done this many times, as an Arab candidate and get support. But as soon as you're identified as a Palestinian, it seems like the opposition, the community gets divided, the opposition gets stronger. It's very hard to elect a Palestinian American to local office. Is that one of our obstacles, do you think, and how do we change that?
It is, definitely. Even though, in my opinion, the bigger obstacle is getting ourselves to participate in the basics of the political system. I hear this over and over, and probably for the last 10 years, is like many congressmen would say, I have a big Palestinian community in my area, but I never hear from them, and this keeps happening over and over again. Last year, actually, we had the Ramallah Convention in Washington, and we had over 1,000 people attend the convention. We tried to do a lobbying day, Now, when we talk about the Ramallah Federation, we're probably talking about the most organized and the most involved organization out of all the Palestinian organizations. And during that time, we tried to get to do like a lobbying day one day in advance. And we had almost 200 people sign for that lobbying day. And I was making contact with all of them all the time, asking them to just call their congressman or senator and arrange for a meeting. Few did and found out that it was so easy to arrange these meetings. And they were received so well by their congressmen and senators. But the vast majority of them did not even do these meetings. For the biggest part is because they thought they're not going to be received well, it's not going to work out, and so on. They all were surprised by how the others who made the meetings, we had them go with the others, were received so well. And now, again, I'm talking about probably the most organized, the most involved organization out of all our organizations. I think that's one area where we can make an impact, and we have a lot of work to do in it, but where we can make an impact, and it's not too hard to do it.
Yeah, and I agree with you. I do believe the Ramallah Federation is probably the most organized, the most effective, and that really symbolizes what we need to do in this country as American Arabs. We need to become American. You know, we do support Palestine and the Arab world and our traditions and culture, but we really need to invest ourselves in this country without letting go of that heritage. And I think Ramallah Federation has done that better than anyone. Is there any way, but you know, as you know, Hanna, over the years, we've tried to bring all these organizations together. We keep failing. And I was involved in one process in the 90s, and it was interesting. It was my first real exposure to Palestinian American politics. It was just amazing how difficult it was when we all agreed on the same goal. We really fought about how do we get there.
I think you hit a very good point. I did see that happening in that very nicely. I think that when we start thinking of and working, knowing that we are Americans and working through American system with American politics, and obviously we're working for our people's common goal, and we basically lobbying for our people's cause, but not coming to it from a Palestinian politics, but coming to it from an American perspective, I think that might make it successful. Again, that's based on our experience with NAB. NAB, when we started, basically our goal was to, like Arab Americans, we are going to basically be working within the American system. We are going to be adopting American policies and American way of doing political work. And we decided to do a decentralized and a non-hierarchy organization. And we were extremely successful. In less than 10 years now, we have almost 10 chapters with over 10,000 members all around the country. And this has started as three, four friends going out together for having a cup of coffee.
And NAP is open to all Arab Americans, correct? It's not a political organization, although obviously you have activism and engagement, but it is open to everybody.
Correct. It's open to everybody. And we have a 5 mission statement. One of them is to promote our people's causes and educate the general public about our issues. We also do a lot of community services. That's one of our goals. Our culture, preserving our heritage, our language, and so on is one of among our goals as well.
Hanna, listen, I know that we're kind of cutting into your time. Is there anything else that you'd like to comment about or share with the listeners in Detroit? I know you have a pretty strong chapter in Detroit, don't you?
No, actually, we have a strong one in Chicago, but not in Detroit.
Really? Well, you need to change. I mean, I'm in Chicago. Doing the radio show in Detroit, but we need to figure out a way. Maybe we'll get Layla, who's just she's one of those people that connects to everybody in Detroit. You should probably look at starting a chapter in Detroit of the Network of Arab American Professionals. And by the way, the website for listeners, if they want to get information, is naaponline.org. And my guest is the founder, Hanna Hanania. I'm very proud to claim that I'm linked to him, although we're related, although I'm sure that doesn't always help you, Hanna, when my name comes up. You know, one of the interesting things about controversy is when you're in journalism, it causes more problems than when you're in politics. And I think my journalism causes me much more trouble, yet we probably need to do more and more in public relations, communications, and journalism as Arabs, don't you think?
Yeah, definitely, absolutely.
All right, Hanna, any final thoughts, any comments you want to share with our listeners who I hope might be moved to explore the idea of starting a chapter in Detroit? I think that would be a good move for you.
I hope so. That would be a really great move. We have a few attempts in the past, and hopefully we'll get a group together and start a chapter in Detroit. Hey, thank you for the show. Thank you for the very nice conversation, and hopefully things will work well. Thank you.
You're welcome. You're welcome, Henna. It's really a pleasure to talk to you. And again, we brought you on because you did such a good job of bringing everybody together around a very important mission to support the upgrade of Palestine at the United Nations. The number of people and organizations that you brought, I thought, really represents what the future of our activism should be, bringing people together, not dividing us, and you do a great job of bringing people together. Thank you, Hanna.
Thank you, Ray. Bye.
You're welcome. Shukran. It's Hanna Hanania is the founder of the Network of Arab American Professionals. They have a chapter here in Chicago. I should look into it a little bit more. And they also have one in Washington, D.C., and cities around the country. Who knows? They might even start one in Detroit, where they definitely need more organization. We got a lot of different little groups in Detroit, but not really an organized effort. So maybe we can do that. And that website for the Network of Arab American Professionals is naaponline.org. You're listening to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania. It is Friday, November 30th, the last day of the month. We'll be getting into December. And for Christian Arabs, this will be an important month because we have the Christmas holidays coming up. And a reminder to Americans that Bethlehem isn't just, you know, an Israeli-occupied city that they should ignore. Bethlehem is the heart of their religion. You know, it's amazing how Americans need to be reminded, American Christians, and this is a majority American Christian country, how this majority of Americans close their eyes to their own religion. It's almost like they're, you know, they're uncaring. Their own religion, the heart of their religion, Bethlehem, is brutalized by the Israeli occupation. The land that's being, and it's not just Christians that are suffering, but Muslims too. But, you know, if you're a Christian American, you would think that you would be upset to see your people suffering under the thumb and boot of the Israeli military complex there, this brutal oppression that is denying the rights of people in the, you know, occupied Palestine. It's horrible. And yet they're so, you know, it sounds cruel to say that Americans are so uneducated. They're smart people, very educated, but very uneducated about the Middle East. They just don't understand it. And you have to wonder, how can you be so smart as a people and yet so dumb, so uneducated when it comes to something so important like the Middle East and your own religion? Bethlehem is the heart of the Christian religion, and it's a shameful thing that Christians in this country, Americans, don't care about what happens in Bethlehem. They have that picture of Bethlehem on the wall, but the reality is that the real Bethlehem is suffering. People are being killed. They're being brutalized by the Israelis. Their land is being taken. Christians should stand up and speak out in support of Palestinian rights. We're going to take a break here at 34 minutes after the top of the hour, November 30th. Friday morning, Radio Ballady. Our website is radioballady.com. Our phone number now, if you want to call in for the rest of it, we can talk about Palestine, we can talk about Syria, we can talk about Egypt and what Morsi is doing. You know, I don't know, is that democracy? You know, sometimes democracy doesn't give us what we want. We think that democracy gives us what we want, but in reality, democracy gives a majority of a people the opportunity to do what they want. at the expense of the minority, and it could be so close. The majority might only be 50% plus one person. And a lot of times the majority isn't really a majority because not everybody who can vote votes, although in Egypt more people voted who could vote than they do vote here in the United States. More people in the United States who could vote don't even vote. So we can talk a little bit about that. But again, our number, 248-557-3300. We'd love for you to call and give us a buzz. And we'll talk to you about some of those issues. I'm Ray Hanania. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Jake's Candy. Two for $1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
Whether it's makluba, warak dawali, tabbouleh, hummus, mensif, or any of more than 1,000 great Middle Eastern recipes, Ziad Brothers Importing is your best source for Mediterranean food products. Ziad Brothers Importing distributes products under the Ziad name and also many other labels, such as Sultan Extra Virgin Olive Oil and Dana Lebna and Dana Cheese. Try their ready-to-serve microwavable instant side pilafs, including couscous with tomato sauce, roasted green wheat pilaf, cracked wheat pilaf, and rice and lentil pilaf. All tasty, natural, healthy, and authentic Mediterranean dishes from the microwave to the table in minutes. Ziad food products are available at all major food and grocery stores in Dearborn, Chicago, Windsor, Canada, and around the country. If you can't find the product you want, just ask your grocer to stock them. For more information on food or recipes, visit Ziad Brothers Importing online at www.ziad.com. Ziad offers the best Mediterranean food product from our family to yours.
Good news. As of November 17th, immigration has been given new instructions to review and close all pending cases. If you're in immigration proceedings, call attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Free consultation for Michigan residents. Mention Radio Baladi. For the latest in immigration law, Stephen Lagana specializes in immigration and federal court proceedings, visas of all kinds, deportation, court appeals, open refugee status, and much more. All immigration cases are currently pending review. It's time to get the right attorney working for you. Call immigration attorney Stephen Lagana at 617-283-1018. Mention Radio Baladi. That's 617-283-1018.
And welcome back to Radio Baladi. 248-557-3300 is our number. 248-557-3300. What are you going to be doing for the Christmas holidays? I'm always interested in what we cook. Because food is such an important part of Arab culture. And I love to cook. Usually around Christmas, we'll have a turkey. We always have this back and forth because my wife likes the bread stuffing in the turkey. I like the rice and meat stuffing. I like that lamb and rice stuffed in the turkey. And I love a large side bowl of tabbouleh and hummus on the side. A little baba ganoush. To go with the food, because our food is a source of pride for American Arabs, that's why I love to cook. Because politics we can be very unsuccessful in this country, as we were talking with our guest before, Hanania, the founder of the Network of Arab American Professionals. Our politics is very confused and divided. We really don't come together as much as we should. So it is disappointing, and a lot of Arabs don't like to get into politics because our experience is one of failure. So we fail in our politics in the Middle East, and we fail, therefore, in our politics in the United States. we don't really run for office. Remember in the 90s, and I was younger, obviously, in my 30s and early 40s, we ran for office a lot. And the reason I ran for office was because you have to break the glass ceiling. Whether you win or not is not important. And I did very, very well. But the more voters found out I was Arab, the more they, you know, resisted and voted against me. And it's the same thing in the Arab community. We're so divided. We're so used to voting against each other. We don't vote to support each other. We feel that if we have a debate or a discussion and we disagree about things, then we become enemies. And instead of understanding the essence of democracy, which is to talk about issues, debate them, discuss them, have share differences of opinion, because opinion are not facts. Opinion are what you make of the facts. And we can all come to different conclusions when we look at the same facts. But the tolerance for those opinions sometimes is lacking in the Arab community. So when someone says something somebody doesn't like, we go berserk. You know, we organize. I mean, envy is the biggest motivator in the Arab community. Not the desire to succeed, not the desire to help our people, but envy. Somebody sees someone else start a newspaper, they, instead of helping them and supporting them, which other communities would do, we work against them. Soon as somebody starts, you know, Leila El-Hussein is a good example of success in America. Started this radio show, very popular, very smart person. The radio show is phenomenal, her Good Morning Michigan. Every morning. She's been doing this for years, against all odds, too. And it is a sacrifice. You know, it's not easy because you're constantly struggling, you know, to pay the bills and, you know, fund your radio show. But she's a good example of that success, that persistence, refusing to give up. And yet so many people out there, many of them, didn't want to support her. In fact, some of my best friends in journalism were angry with me because I became a friend of hers. And it was always kind of shocking to me how this Arab self-hatred, maybe, I'm not sure what it is, envy. You know, they didn't want to see me work with Leila. And when I did do that, that kind of sparked a lot of the anger against me. People that didn't like Leila because she was so successful didn't like me because I was supporting her. And I'll tell you what, Leila is the best thing that's ever happened to the Detroit community. When it comes to openness and honesty, Leila El-Husseini is probably the best journalist in the city. And she knows everybody. And it's just sad that in a city like the Detroit, in the cities around Detroit, where the American Arab community lives, that they have such power and they can't seem to achieve it. You know, they can't grab it and put it together. Because these petty differences, someone doesn't like somebody, they'll work against them. You know, that's a funny thing is, they'll work against somebody, put all that effort to stop somebody, but they could have put all that effort and work into doing something positive for Palestine or Iraq or Syria. I mean, there's so many positive things, and there are people that do that, like Leila and many of the activists that I've met in the Detroit region, but so many more only put an effort into it to prevent somebody, to block somebody, to undermine somebody from their own community. And what they don't realize is that when they fight someone from their own community, they're really fighting themselves. It's kind of like a self-anger, not really self-hatred, it's a self-anger, because we're not successful. You know, our leadership is terrible. And they want to, the leaders, quote unquote, the people who are the leaders, they don't want to have to explain to you why they're failures. They don't want to have to tell you why 65 years later we're still struggling to establish Palestine under their leadership. So they want to divide you, because by keeping you divided, you won't ask why they failed. And that's the thing they fear the most, our leaders. Whether it's in Washington or Detroit or even in Chicago, all the organizations, most of them. I mean, there's some exceptions like Knapp and Henna Hanania, and not because he's a Hanania and I am, but because he's very talented. He's just a good leader. He knows how to reach out. The Ramallah Federation is the most successful and organized organization, Palestinian organization in the United States. I wish everybody modeled themselves after them. But the majority of our leaders, you know, they want to cover up their failures. They don't want to be accountable. They don't want to explain. So they use their newspapers or whatever to attack other people personally, you know, rather than debating the issues. I'm not afraid to debate anybody. I debated Abba Iban when I was 23 years old. He was Israel's most eloquent spokesperson. And I went toe-to-toe with him. And I really backed him into a corner because the fact is that we Arabs stand on justice and righteousness. We're right. The Israelis are wrong. But power makes up for that. And the Israelis do to us what some people in our community do to us too. They use their power and their influence to keep our community divided. So we can't express our power and our influence. But radio shows like this, and again, thanks to Leila El-Husseini, can bring people together and bring a message to everybody. A lot of people, I'm amazed at how many people listen to the show in the morning. I get so many emails after the show, and I want to thank all of you. And you can always email. You go to my website at hanania.com, and you could get my email there, my contact information. You could read all the columns. Let's welcome a friend of ours, a friend of Radio Ballady, Jamal. Always positive and always says something good and has some great, insightful comments. Jamal, welcome to Radio Ballady.
Hey, I just read some good article for you. What's going on with you today? You're having, look, there is no delivery of babies without struggling and pain.
That's true.
I mean, you are absolutely right. The community going through pain, a vacuum of leadership, or a lot of leadership, practical, non-practical, self-righteous. It is a copycat of what's going on in the Arab world. Not recently, but since whatever, you know.
Well, you know what I always say, Jamal, is, the American Arabs live in this country physically, but the majority of them are mentally back home. Physically, we're here, but mentally, we still live the everyday life back home. You know, some of us have become very American and understand how we can use the system, but so many of us, it's like we're in the streets of Damascus or Ramallah, you know, or Cairo, you know, or Amman, Jordan. You know, or, you know, in Iraq.
That's right. Leila experience and Leila a pioneering idea in what she is doing, that's great. I think there's a merit in what she's doing. That's why personally, a lot of people who I know listen to this radio. I mean, I made sure that I went to work. I actually, you know, listen and try to interact because I see that one day, sooner or later, that's going to pick up because you have what we call open media and transparency. The problem with transparency is that sometimes you took actions or you are in the process of taking actions that you don't want the public to know about.
Yeah.
This is a problem. I mean, you know, look, when we learn how to make fun of us, when I learn how to make fun of me, I can easily make fun of you.
Right.
Now, other way, you know, I try to prevent making fun of myself or of you, so I don't have to make fun of me, because you may make fun of me and respond to that until we see that. And I write, sometimes you joke about who we are, whatever. That's great. So what?
Yeah.
You
know, yeah. I know. I agree.
You see what I'm saying, right?
Yeah, no, listen, I agree. I think that the issue, the big problem we face, is we're intolerant of other people's viewpoints. You know what I mean? If there's some of us who, if you say something they don't like, they will throw the gauntlet down and fight you to the death, rather than saying, okay, we disagree about a couple things, but we agree about 99%. You know, we always look at the disagreement, unfortunately, I think.
Well, you know, there is a good experience happened in last election in the area of Dearborn. You know, they were able, you know, the people really went out and understand a very moderate, respectable lawyer, Salim Salami, and they elected him as a judge.
Yeah.
Which is great. I think, you know.
You guys are the exception to the rule in Detroit. I don't think people in Detroit realize how successful you really are compared to the rest of the Arab community in this country. You guys in Detroit have done more with your community than anybody else.
I have a quick comment for you about the Middle East.
Go ahead.
How about I see and I can spend the state of Kurdistan. How? What do you think? I think this is happening, right? I think, you know, I see that happening. I see Turkey start getting a little bit afraid of what can happen. And are we going to see Kurdistan? So the power will try to take pressure, which coming from the Turkey to Syria. I mean, do you see that? I think something boiling over there.
It is, and it is changing, but, you know, the irony is that things change, and then we get caught up in the moment rather than the bigger picture. The bigger picture, though, is really, when you look at it, Israel and the United States, that when they only work together for their interests rather than the interests of the Middle East, everything is connected to that. Turkey, all of the conflicts in that whole region have a lot to do with. Jamal, listen, it's always a pleasure to talk to you. Thank you for calling.
Don't blame America. Don't blame Israel because they are working towards their benefit.
Well, they're doing what we should be doing. You're right. They're doing what we should be doing, and there's nothing stopping us from doing the same thing except ourselves. I think you're absolutely right. Thanks, Jamal. All right, let's go on the phone lines to another caller. Hannah is on the line here at 248-557-3300. Hannah, you still there?
Yes, I'm here.
Hi, Hannah.
How are you?
Good.
Mr. Hani, I just want to make a congratulations for the Palestinians, for all the Palestinians, whether in the U.S. and outside the U.S., Palestine itself. Just want to send a congratulations for all of these people for what they've done to get the state of Palestine put on the map, back on the map, as a fact.
Yeah, I agree with you. We should be celebrating and yeah, stop looking at the little issues to be angry. We should be focused on this is one more step forward. We should celebrate. I agree with you. You make a good point.
This is a huge thing for Palestine. I mean, we've never had this before. I mean, since 1948 until now, this is the first thing. This is the first step, as a matter of fact.
Have anybody done anything in Detroit, the Detroit region, to celebrate this or to discuss it?
I haven't seen anything. I wish they would do.
Yeah, I agree. I'm a little surprised that no one is doing anything. It seems like we don't do enough for our community, do we? We need to do more.
We need to be more involved. We need to be more more on the positive side.
Yes.
All the time.
Yes, you're right. I mean, it's easy to get dragged into the negatives all the time. You know, I mean, we're emotional people, but everybody is. But Arabs, we get especially emotional. We should always look at the positive and find a way to build on the positive. I wish we could do that. All right, Hannah, thank you for calling. I appreciate it.
Thank you for giving the opportunity to be on the radio and congratulate the Palestinians. Thank you,
Hannah. Thank you. That was great that Hannah called in just to say congratulations to the Palestinians. I agree. Congratulations to the Palestinians. It's not full statehood. I mean, they do have a challenge. You know, Israel still standing in front of them, rejecting peace, embracing violence and even terrorism through the settler movement. But you know what? We need to focus on the positives sometimes. And we need to focus and rally around ourselves. You know, it's one thing to protest Israel, but it's more importantly to commemorate ourselves and, you know, recognize our achievements. You know, sometimes recognizing your achievement is the best way to thumb your nose at the enemy like Israel. Yeah, we could protest against Israeli stuff, but you know what? Sometimes standing up and celebrating our successes is the best protest against Israel. To celebrate and show them that we're better people than they are. That we're willing to celebrate what we've done, our achievements, and we're not going to let them steal that from us. They've stole everything else. We're not going to let them steal our dignity. That we're going to stand up and celebrate among ourselves and say we did a good job. Because you know what? Arabs are great people. The Arabs, the people of the Middle East are great people. And we need to celebrate and remind ourselves that despite all the stereotypes and the racism driven by the Israelis against us, that we can stand up to them by not just protesting against their racism and apartheid-like policies, but to turn around and look at ourselves and say we have done something positive, that we celebrate that success, that we celebrate our achievements and we share those achievements and we don't stop talking about those achievements, because that will nauseate the Israeli racists more than anything when they see that we're celebrating and standing up for ourselves and supporting each other and putting aside our divisions and setting aside the things that separate us and divide us. We should be working together. Everything from Syria to Iraq to Egypt. I mean, you know, nobody wants to see Syria destroyed. We want to see Syria stand up and have a good leader, get rid of terrorism, and give people democracy. That's what we want. You know, we do share things, and that's what we should be focused on. Same thing with Palestine. We should be focused on the successes. So yes, congratulations to Palestine. They did get a vote 65 years later. They were able to get an upgrade in their status equal to the Vatican, which is no small thing. But the most significant thing is the next time Israel commits a war crime, we can take that issue to the International Criminal Court and prosecute Israel's terrorist leaders. Someone on my Facebook page asked me if I condone Palestinians who named their children and streets after terrorists. And I said, how could you ask that as an Israeli? Because that's all Israel has ever done, was name their streets and their children after some of the worst, most vicious terrorists out there. Menachem Begin, Ariel Sharon, Yitzhak Shamir, those are the terrorists. So we don't have to listen to them and their propaganda. You go to our website at radioballady.com. Please visit my website if you want to read my columns at hanania.com or themediaoasis.com. You can always email me, and I really appreciate all the emails we get. Don't forget to support Leila El Husseini's program on WNZK AM 690, Monday through Thursday at 8 a.m. Eastern Time and Detroit Time. You can listen to her. Don't forget to support our sponsors, Ziad Brothers Importing, Jake's Candy, Icon Computers, the law offices of Stephen Lagana, the law offices of Jumana K. Ruz, the American Muslim Center, Radio Aramica at RadioAramica.com. Remember, 712-432-8008. That's the number to listen to our show and 24 hours a day shows online on your cell phone. MC Gold TV, the Sabil Media at SabilMedia.com, and the Washington Report for Middle East Affairs at WRMEA.org. Also, Life for Relief and Development at LifeUSA.org and the Dearborn Free Press. I'm Ray Hanania, and I want to thank you for listening to us and joining us here. You guys have a great week. This will be podcast later today, and you can access it on our website at radioballady.com. I'm Ray Hanania. Have a great day. And everybody at WNZK, thank you so much for helping us with the radio show. We'll talk to you next week. Bye-bye, everybody.
This is WNZK.